bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the Photo Show. Yes, it's another week in photography. And I'm joined, unfortunately Alex is still working. He's out there earning shekels, running around, doing very, very well. If he gets back in time, he might dial in, but we're probably going to do without him for now. Top left, our usual main stalwart from Chicago, Illinois. It's Mr. Forsman. How you doing, sir?
I'm just gonna come right out and say it. I'm neither bright-eyed nor bushy-tailed this morning.
Really?
I'm tired and grumpy.
You've had to haul your ass over to here to sit and talk to an English bloke too early in the morning.
Yeah.
Never mind. You'll get excited with the photography news because we're going to talk about Pentax and not slag him off. So that's always a start.
Yay.
Next to him, Mr. Newsom back again from Florida. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
You've got an hour on Mr. Forsman, so you've been up a bit longer. weather good there, as ever? Sticky and humid?
Yeah, well, we've got a hurricane on its way and the Republican National Convention, both due to hit here about the same time next week. So it's going to be an exciting week.
and the difference between the two is you're looking forward to the hurricane.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we have hurricane parties. We don't have convention parties, trust me.
Oh, dear, dear. Never mind. The week of photography. It's been an interesting week because I couldn't believe this when I read it. The SD card has turned 25 years old.
Really?
Really? Absolutely. I couldn't believe it when I saw it.
That doesn't seem right. I mean,
SanDisk issued a statement in celebration of the 25th anniversary of flash memory and SD cards. There you go.
I don't think I had even heard of them.
No.
It was probably
mid-90s
the first time I really started paying attention to anybody talking about digital, but I can't fathom that it's 25 years old. I did read, and this surprised me, that you could, in 20 megs of memory in 1991 cost £635. Today it costs 1 pence, which I have no idea what that pence is, but I got a feeling it's a lot less.
It's 0.6 of a cent. But there you go. That makes it 1987, says Tone. Absolutely right, mate.
Yeah. That doesn't sound right.
Some people listening to this show were not even alive.
Well, what's interesting is you said flash memory and SD card, so maybe...
No, it's flash memory, that's all. I was just trying to make more of it than there was. But flash memory. Yeah. Did you see the Kodak's first digital camera as well? There was a picture of that leaked out this week. On one of the stories. I can't remember who showed it, but that was pretty impressive as well. And it was about the size of a shoebox.
The prototype one that they made?
Yeah, the prototype digital camera. And that goes way back. I mean, that's late 70s, mid-70s, late 70s. But that was quite surprising. SD cards and flash memories, 25 years old this week. Not bad, eh?
Yeah, I think that original one, like, recorded on videotapes, maybe?
What, digitally?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but that was just like the storage
medium, the high grade VHS stuff with the hole in the back. Now we've had a letter, chaps. Do you remember we got a question the other week that asked about what to take on holiday to a tropical island as a camera?
Mm-hmm.
I think you were here for that one, Kev.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we got a letter back, and we got a picture. There you go. Now, if you remember, this was Andy who was going to go to a tropical island and was going to say he was going to take his T3i, and should he take a 50mm lens or should he take any more lenses or would that be enough? And I think the consensus was, well, why don't you just take your iPhone? So, dear Ewan and the chaps, thanks for reading my question out a couple of shows ago. I'm back from the tropical island now, and in the end, I took your advice, and I took my iPhone 4S and nothing else, and it was a pretty good choice. So, thanks very much. Just perfect. Attached is an untouched, ungraded photo from the island. Not bad, eh? There you go. That
pretty
was taken
good.
With a knife. It's not sharpened. I haven't put that through anything. I haven't sharpened it up for the show. But that's exactly as it came out of the phone. And he went and shot everything with that. I thought that was perfect. So, guys, we're really good. We told him. I am absolutely gobsmacked that he actually took our advice and only took an iPhone on holiday. That's got disaster written all over it. I couldn't do it. I just could not do it. But well done, Andy.
I went on a trip one time to the Caribbean and I accidentally took my iPhone into the ocean. And so I felt very lucky that I just happened to be reviewing a Pentax, one of their waterproof cameras at the time. So saved that trip.
Totally good. Right.
But yeah, they make cases. They make waterproof cases and stuff. So if you're going to be near the water, consider having one of those. Just added.
Very good. The week in photography, there's a bit of a rumor out there at the moment that on the 13th of September, there will be a Nikon D600. This is literally, I got this story 20 minutes, one of the listeners sent it in 20 minutes before we started. But supposedly, Photokina kicks off September 18th. On the 13th, Nikon are going to be shoving out a D600, a far more keenly priced equivalent, ish, in inverted commas, to the Nikon D800. There's suggestions between $1,500 and $2,000 in the range. It's going to be a full frame camera, though, not a crop sensor. And it's a bit close to an official launch for this to come out. Specs are supposed to be 24 megapixel. 3.2 LCD on the back, just under 3/4 kilo in weight, a full video in HD, and it says you can do 720 with 60 frames per second as well, which is pretty good. H.264, ISO range 100 to 6400, which I was quite surprised at that. It says it can push it out to 25-600, but the way it's written, that's kind of sounds like they've gone for a blocked middle range and not really looked for the excess to be of any real value to it. You could end up with something that's probably pretty unusable at a higher end. Is it worth the money?
What was the price range on it again?
$1,500 to $2,000, they're saying. They reckon it's going to land at body only.
They'll find a market for it. There's a lot of photographers that are starting to really hold back on in the pro market, at least over here, hold back on spending the money on the bigger cameras. You know, the $3,000 and $4,000 cameras are not as popular as the $1,500 to $2,500 cameras, and that's largely because of the economy. I think if business was a little better, people would go ahead and spring for the more expensive cameras. But right now, I think there's a huge market for people who are going for that middle of the road camera. I mean, the D700. Over the D3s and things like that was, you know, pretty much set the trend.
I mean, Chris, what's your thoughts on this? Similar kind of thing?
Honestly, even though I've been using Canon for so long, I've been looking at Nikons, especially since the D700 came out a few years ago. And, you know, especially if it's on the lower end of this price range, I think I'd definitely pull the trigger on one. But my only real disappointment, I think, is supposedly the ISO range is only going to top out at 6400 because the resolution is much lower than the D800. And so theoretically, anyway, those photodiodes, those individual photodiodes should be much bigger, and should be capable of, you know, better low light performance. So, you know, I'm just wondering, maybe is that some kind of artificial limitation, or is it, you know, did they not choose a better sensor, or, you know, was it an effort? They went with a cheaper sensor to cut the cost a little bit more to hit a certain price point. I'm not really sure. But still, I mean, if it's anything at this point, it's going to be a big improvement over my just practically ancient Canon 20D at this point.
Don't you knock the 20D, sir. That was a fine camera.
It was when it was new, and it's just, I've just worn it out. I've just rode it hard and put it away wet, so.
Now it's cutting edge like a lead knife. But here's the thing, because this is quite interesting going back to what Kev's saying. I mean, I've got, you know, 1DS Mark II is what I use for all my stills stuff, and I shot all of last Saturday at a wedding with it, and I loved it. I really enjoyed it. You know, lenses off left, right, and center, and shot a lot of pictures. Really, really had a good time. I've got a 600D, which I only use for shooting video. I don't shoot stills with it. But a couple of times I've got caught short with battery, and I thought, I'll just pull that out and I'll shoot some stills. And I never like the stills that I get out of the D600, but you give me something the 600D is going to be, what, £700, £650 over here in the UK, so about the $800 mark. If you push it up to sort of $1,500 and it's a good still shooter, that would be worth it. And like you say, Kev, you know, would I go back to the top end? Well, at the moment, I've got a top end camera from 8 years ago, and I haven't found anything else that shoots better than it at the moment. It's got to have that stills performance as well as the video. So I think you're making a great point there, because I think I'm looking at the 1D, and thinking about going for it, but it's that kind of bulky money outlay is too much for me, definitely at the moment. Nikon has also puked up a pile of cameras this week.
Everybody's trying to jump each other for photokinas.
Yeah, exactly. Like. It's a veritable vomit fest. The first one that came out is the Coolpix S01. This is a super tiny, tiny thing, and it really is tiny. $179 or £150. Shoots 720p video and 7.3 gigabytes of internal memory. So there's no card going in there. It's all built in. And it's yours to just swing around and go what you want. I can't find a sensor size on it. Oh, 10 megapixels. There you go. It's a good handbag camera. Is the price keen enough, though, $170, $180?
I'd say so.
People would buy that for day out.
Yeah.
Tropical island. Would it? Is it going to have the quality, though?
It's going to be as sharp or sharper than your average smartphone. So, it's really cool because it's small.
Yeah.
The feature set isn't amazing in any way. It's, you know, fair to middling as far as specs are concerned. I think image quality will be good. I think it will be better than most smartphones. For most average consumers, I don't think that the quality difference will even be noticeable. But it's got a zoom. It's got a real proper xenon flash. I think there's going to be some people this appeals to. It's not going to be a big seller. The price is good. The features are okay. The size and style, I think, is probably what's going to appeal to, I think, most buyers more than anything.
Kevin, your thoughts?
The market, I think, it's going to be attractive to are the people who want something more than a smartphone, but they're not at all interested in getting an interchangeable lens camera, of course. But it's a price point thing. I mean, people who walk out with that budget in mind, you know, $200 or less, looking for a camera, that's their camera. That's not a bad camera to get. What are people doing with their images when they shoot with point and shoot cameras? I mean, with smartphones, they Instagram them and they Facebook them and they tweet them and they Google Plus them and they Pinterest them and things like that. If you're not putting it online, most of the time, you're certainly not printing it. Mm. And so I think this would probably be fine for most people if, you know, they've got an avenue to put them online. That's where they're going to go. They don't have to be great. They don't have to be saleable. They just have to be clean and fun. You know, they're going to get their likes on Facebook with them.
Yeah, absolutely. The other one that they've had out then is next step up is an S6400. This comes in a range of colors, some of them with lollipop sticks stuck in the bottom of them by the looks. you're talking a 16 megapixel sensor, and it's got auto HDR as well, vibration reduction, easy panorama technology, full HD video capture with a dedicated movie record button and record pause function, which you've never really seen before, have you? That's always kind of been, you've been off and then back on again with a separate movie. And it's going to retail at £229, so it's going to be about $270, $280. Any thoughts?
Right away, I'm impressed with the backside illumination on the sensor. you know, I'm not sure why basically every manufacturer isn't jamming backside illuminated sensors into every camera at this point, because it really expands the dynamic range and the low light performance. And the built-in zoom is equivalent to like 25 to 300. So this is definitely, like, you know, if I were going to take a compact camera on a holiday, this is definitely one I would consider. I mean, you've got all the zoom range you could possibly manage in a compact camera.
If that stays sharp at the top end, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Again, any thoughts, Alex? Alex? God, no. Kevin. Sorry, man.
Well, the ghost of Alex?
The ghost of Alex Fox.
Let me speak for Alex.
You speak for him.
I don't have anything to add to it. Again, it's another in the line of the cameras that there's a market for. If you don't have a smartphone, or if you don't have a phone that you're confident in your images, you know, it's got a pretty good range in ISO, and I think it'll probably, again, it's a consumer grade camera that's gonna appeal to a pretty wide market, because there's not a lot of money going around right now for cameras, and that's probably the biggest market base out there.
And the last two, then, and these are the big ones. The first one is the Android powered. Inverted commas cell phone camera, but I mean, this is a shape of things to come, I would think, and hope, perhaps.
Yeah.
But I've lost the number of this one. It's the 88 something, or isn't it? Coolpix
800C.
Yeah. This is an Android powered phone that delivers 25 to 250 mil lens and 3.5 LED on the back, 16 megapixel camera, 10 times optical zoom, vibration reduction again, and all those kind of things. But the big part is, it's got Wi-Fi linkage, it's got Android in the back end, and it's got Google Plus, Facebook, Twitter already built into the thing. And it's $349, which I was kind of surprised at that price. I thought they'd want a bit more for this, to be honest. So that's quite kind of keen, I think.
Well, they got the operating system for free, so.
Well, okay, fair point. But I mean, this is going to have.
This one's going to have a big market. There's going to be a lot of people that want this because it's like a phone, it just doesn't make calls, but it's got everything else built into it, which is brilliant. I think it's that is going to be, you know, a huge seller, only because I think it's so close to a smartphone without making phone calls.
Yeah.
There's one thing that bothers me a lot, and they're using Android 2.3. Which is practically ancient as far as Android's concerned at this point.
It's not got a lot to do, though, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. As long as the, especially the picture-taking interface, is well done, and I'm assuming it's custom. You know, we haven't seen it yet.
Right.
But, you know, you can fire up Instagram and take something with the camera zoom and everything else with the real flash, and then throw it in Instagram. You can upload it to your Facebook or Twitter or whatever, right from the camera. And I think that's really, really smart.
No, this isn't an iPhone. This isn't an iPhone. No, it's definitely not an iPhone. This isn't a phone, cell phone at all. There's no GPS or anything like that in there. There's no 3G. It's pure Wi-Fi only.
Right.
But it's got a very, very cell phone-like interface on the back screen.
Well, because it's running Android. That's why. Because it's running
touchscreen interface
that Android phones are running.
Yeah, but there's touchscreen and touchscreen. This is looking like a cell phone. That's what I'm saying. You know, you could have the menus that you currently have on all phones, on all screens, on cameras. You could have that as touch-capable and have the same look, but they've definitely stopped that idea of having a UI that's very camera-like and gone for a UI that's very phone-like. I mean, is the next step there's going to be a version of this that chucks a 3G card and nor allows a SIM?
Yeah, I that's what I think. I mean, I'm trying to remember what the camera was. One of those Nikon early or the low-end DSLRs, but they have that little nubbin you can plug in there and give it Wi-Fi, right? Mm. It doesn't have Wi-Fi built in, but it has this little nubbin. And I'm thinking that sooner or later, if they can't jam the 3G or 4G hardware in there, that the next step is going to be to offer some kind of add-on where you can add it on if you want it. Because really, and this is, we've talked about this 100 times, the there's such a big appeal to using smartphones as cameras, and part of it is because you always have it. The other part is that you can always do something. You can always share the pictures right away, almost no matter where you are, I should say. If you're in the middle of a desert with no signal, you've got that 3G always on connection, even if you're away from the house with no Wi-Fi.
It's almost like the feeling I get when I look at this is it's almost like a proof of concept camera. You know, that's why they've gone back to 2.3. They've not gone to sandwich or jelly bean. And it's just that idea of let's get it done. Let's show that we can do it. And you could probably, you know, even at Photokina or after Photokina, you could probably see an iteration come out that's got capability to effectively run like a phone. Would you buy it? Would you take it out with you? Would you shoot commercial shots on it? I mean, at 16 megapixels, if they're crisp and sharp, they're going to be very sellable. You could get a lot more it'd be good for your holidays more. It would be great for capturing reportage.
We're talking about not only is it this, you know, you have this Android phone-like interface, but you've got basically bolted onto an actual camera and not just a sensor and a lens jammed into the corner of the phone. The quality of pictures are definitely going to be a big step above what most people are accustomed to with smartphones. And the truth is, yeah, you know, the camera that's in the iPhone in particular and some of the nicer Android phones is quite capable, even though you've got a fixed lens and a fixed aperture. You know, they can still produce some pretty decent images. Definitely having better hardware is going to, you know, it's going to give you better opportunities. So I see a lot of potential in this path, and I'm surprised more camera manufacturers haven't jumped on it. You know, Polaroid had a similar idea at CES. The prototype that I saw there didn't wow me that much, but you know, it's clear that camera makers need to figure out how to get this done and do it right.
Well, they're fighting back, at least. Mm-hmm. You know, they're fighting back against the phones who've stolen the camera market. Now all they got to do is figure out how to put a phone in the camera.
I mean, this camera doesn't look huge. It looks, you know, a lot thicker than a phone, but say it's double the width of the iPhone, perhaps. About the same size as the iPhone. If you make a call, that's really viable. That's really viable. Mm-hmm. People would buy that and carry it around. Comments in the chat room are not anything to do with seriousness, of course. If they put a phone in, will they call it the Canon Call Pix? Well done, Ian. That's very funny. And can it play Angry Birds? And Bookery says Nikon need to put a digital editing software into it so that you can clip out people's faces and put them into Angry Birds.
That would be fun.
That works for me. The last offering is the P7700 from Nikon. This is kind of shoving it a bit more towards the serious end, the top end. A lot closer towards the pen type style camera. It's a good looking camera, I have to say. I do look at it. It's f2.0 to 4.0. It's got 12 megapixel CMOS sensor, lens shifting, vibration reduction, full HD. 3-inch LCD at the back. Neutral density filter enables greater exposure and the 7-blade rounded iris aperture. There you go.
I mean, this is definitely going after the Canon G series.
It's $500, so that's probably going to be quite competitive with the G series as well, isn't it? Mm-hmm. In terms of price.
Again, a backside illuminated sensor.
Yeah.
Not a super big one. It's about a 1/2-inch size.
I like
but,
this.
But yeah, it looks good.
It looks a lot like the Coolpix 995 or 990 that I bought for my wife probably 10 years ago. I think I spent $1,000. It was a 3-megapixel camera. It's nice to see, you know, the same look camera. It's very clean. And it's got a big enough sensor. I think it'll take some nice pictures. And $500, you're starting to thin your market out a little bit for it, but still a good camera.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this hits. I feel like it's going after like more of a, you know, pros that want like some kind of smaller holiday type camera, you know, to amateurs. It's really going after that market. Yeah. And that, you know, that's sort of a niche in and of itself, but I think it hits all the right points for those people. I mean, I find it very appealing. I'd like to hold it in my hands, but just the dial controls, look, you know, well placed and well made, and you know, just the style looks pretty nice. It's got a good zoom range, a decent aperture range, 7-bladed aperture. I mean, that's the kind of thing that, you know, again, like, real camera geeks are only going to care about, but you know, it's in there. So
I mean, I know this is not the same type of camera as the G3, but if you're looking at a G3 with a little collection of small Micro Four Thirds lenses, then you know, would you pick this up instead and take it away with you? Could it impact that market?
Say that one more time.
I know this isn't the same as a G3, but let's say you've got, you know, you
want the Lumix. You're talking about the Lumix.
Yeah, the Lumix G3. But is this a potential competitor in that market of, you've got that quality, so you pick this up instead of picking up the G3 with its two or three extra lenses, however small they may be, and to go out for a walk or go out on holiday? Or could it impact that market as well? Pull back to the compacts, away from the low end interchangeables.
I think so. I mean, I've been using, you know, I've talked about it before. I've got an Olympus pin, one of their pin models that I use when I do like conferences and stuff like that. And I've been looking into the Canon G, you know, one of the Canon G series cameras as a potential replacement.
Yeah.
You know, and this, I think, would be definitely in the running as well. I mean, you know, again, my concerns when I'm traveling and when I'm shooting conferences and things like that, it's more small, you know, smaller size. But the nice thing is here, you know, you get the zoom lens built in. I don't have to like carry extra lenses to get more range. You know, you've got the fold out screen, so you can pop it up and do shots over, you know, if I'm shooting over crowds and things like that. So there's definitely a lot of advantages there, and the overall package is smaller and lighter than my pin setup. So there's definitely some appeal there, and people who want to change lenses are not going to be swayed, I think. But those who are just sort of thinking of the Micro Four Thirds type cameras as a much smaller alternative to DSLRs might consider this, because like I said, the lens and sensor combination are pretty good. So.
Kevin, would this be a day out camera for you?
I'm not familiar with the G3, and I just lost audio for just about 30 seconds, but that's just got back. So I can't really add to what you just said. I was agreeing with a lot of what I heard.
Chris, I mean, would you buy this as a pro, as a day out camera for yourself?
You know, it's funny. I probably wouldn't, only because I tend to carry my D300 when I want, you know, for vacations and stuff. But I would probably be smart to pick up. My wife would do it. Okay,
yeah, yeah. It's a girly cam.
Yeah.
I'll write to Nikon and tell him you said that.
Yeah.
Don't send me letters, please.
Let's split the Nikon Canon head to head then, with a little soiree into Pentax. Pentax have, they announced in May the K30, but it's finally arrived, and there's some test images out there for it, which I've got to say do look rather nice. This is a fairly simple DSLR style setup, but it's 17 megapixels, JPEG 16 megapixels, it says here, full HD movie. Usual kind of specs that we've just spoken about there, 12,800 top end ISO, low end 100. You know, we usually take the mickey out of Pentax whenever they release anything because it looks like a pile of Lego bricks. This actually looks pretty damn sexy. This has got Navy SEALs written over it. This has got James Bond on it.
Yeah, I actually like this camera. This is something I might consider. It's got a wide ISO range, 100 to 25,000. Weatherproof, which is nice, 16 megapixel. I looked at the images. They looked very clean at a low ISO. You know, they kind of broke up a little bit on the high end, but still not a bad little camera for $600-$700.
Yeah. Chris, any thoughts?
Nothing different than what we're talking about here. I mean, I think Pentax is being smarter, it seems, and really, you know, they're not building a million different models. They're finding their niche and sticking with it, and I think that's really smart.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the images, as Kev says, they were really sharp and clean. They were very, very nice. If you're a Pentax shooter, you're going to be very happy with getting this. And the price was really keen over here. We're talking about $800 in the States, £650 in the UK, which that's really, because they've never had that kind of really cheap end, but do it reasonably well. The cheap end stuff has always been quite nasty with it, whereas this looks like it's a decent quality for a very, very keen price. If you were lens free, would you dive in with Pentax based on this? Would it lure you away from the Canon Nikon 600 5100 market?
No, not me. It wouldn't lure me away, but it's still an impressive camera. And I used to shoot with Pentax 30 years ago in the film days. I had an ME Super, and they're quality cameras.
They always were. They lost it when they started making them look like Lego. It's when we started taking the piss out of them.
Honestly, I would definitely consider it because Pentax makes some amazing lenses that are really compact. And
they did the first pancake lens, really, didn't they? It was like 10 millimeters.
It was a 40 millimeter f/2.8 that came out for the ME Super. In fact,
I mean, it was like 10 millimeters thick. It was really small.
Yeah. Yeah. And they still do that. They still have some a couple different actually pancake lenses they make that cover some different formats. It's interesting. I think the styling and the sculpting of it is really angular, and it's almost like a throwback in a sense. I mean, it sort of looks like the future, but also kind of like nostalgic at the same time. It's very strange.
It's that Batman rubber feel, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's the Batman rubber.
You nailed it. That's it. It's Batman just, rubber. Like, I feel like that is the camera that the Dark Knight would use. Alfred, I'm going to go take some pictures. You know? that's what I feel like.
Right then. Now, you've all got your credit cards sharpened for the Nikons, but hold fire, because Canon have released the PowerShot SX500IS, SX160IS, and their Super Zoom camera is well out ahead of Photokina, of course, and 16 megapixels. And if you've listened to all the specs of the Nikons, then it's kind of similar. Not CMOS, CCD, but and we know the difference between them after last week's show. What do we think to this one? This one's got a bit more on the zoom, though, hasn't it? This is offering 24 to 720. On the zoom, and f/3 to 5.8, which is quite high, really.
Well, but look at that range.
That's
huge. And then look at the size of the camera too. Yeah. I mean, these are super zoom cameras, and there's people that these appeal to, and that's all there is to it. I mean, there's someone who just wants a ton of zoom in a little camera. This SX500 is just it is almost astounding in its zoom range.
It's got fully manual as an option as well, which I think will appeal to people who want something more than just a point and shoot. People who actually understand and respect manual and the ability to control aperture and shutter speed. That's a nice thing to have in a $300 camera. Not to mention it's got image stabilization, which, you know, who knows how well that works in a camera that size, but that's another feature. That's not a bad thing to have, and the price is sure right.
So this is going head-to-head with the Nikon S6400, really. It's thereabouts on similar price, tiny bit more expensive.
I think this 160 camera is kind of more competing with that. I think this SX500 is kind of its own beast at this point.
Right. So, let's take the 160 against the 6400 in a smackdown. Who's going to win?
That's tough. I think at this kind of range, this price range and the size and everything, I think handling is so important. So without really holding them, it's a tough call to make. And you know, image quality, I don't think it's going to be that different between these two cameras as far as most consumers are concerned. I just have some personal experience with Nikon versus Canon, and I've just always kind of been found Canon's rendering more appealing compared to Nikon. It's not necessarily sharper or more colorful, but it just has a certain look to it that is slightly different than Nikon's, and I like it better. And I don't think that's going to sway most consumers. I think really it's going to be a matter of handling here for most people.
Who do you love?
Who do I love?
No, that'll be it. Who do you love? That's what make you decide Canon or Nikon with this. You got a preference already. You're already sold. I think past history is going to be a big part of it. You know, having used G series, G9, G12 myself, currently still got a G12. I'm probably going to be looking more to go with a Canon to start off with, just because if I had to buy one because of that history. Though I have to say, there's an awful lot of temptation to move to Nikon at the moment, especially with D800 and maybe even with D600 now coming along. Could I dump the lenses? Could I make enough to go on eBay and get them all back? Who knows?
I think one slight advantage of the camera is that it uses AA batteries. And I know that some people really prefer that, just because, especially when you're traveling, it's so much easier to find some AA's, even if it's just regular alkalines. They don't have to be rechargeables or liquids or anything. You can find some AA's just about any corner store. You know, and if you're running low on batteries, you can just chuck a couple in there and still be shooting. Whereas if you've got, you know, one of those rechargeable lithium batteries, you have to carry an extra battery, make sure it's always charged, you know, keep track of it, keep track of the charger. So I know that my sister went on a trip to Scotland several months ago, and this was, she helped, you know, she asked for my help in buying a camera, and she's like, does it use AA's? Because I want to just be able to pick up batteries if I need some. I don't want to have to track down a recharger.
Yeah. Good. Okay. And the last story is the InstaCube. You've got all your Instagram photos. You don't know what to do with them. Then you can buy an InstaCube. And the InstaCube will help you by getting all of your stuff out and letting you show them on your sideboard. And I think it's got AirPlay, hasn't it? Is that right? Did I read that right? Anyway.
Wi-Fi.
You say
I guess it. It has to, because you've got to send your, you can send your images directly to it instantly.
Yeah. If you signed up with your account.
It's brilliant.
It is brilliant, but it doesn't work yet because it's one of those kind of Kickstarter things, insert coin jobs.
It's still in project mode, but I think it'll take off. I think once the right people see it, he'll get the money needed to, the investors needed to fund the production of this thing. But I think it's a brilliant idea. I think it's got a huge market. Everybody loves Instagram. Everybody with an iPhone is using it. And, you know, to be able to send images straight to a digital frame, you know, that's, you know, at home somewhere or at a friend's house or your mother's house or whatever, and send pictures of where you're at and what you're doing or the sunset you're watching instantly. And not only that, but accept images, approve certain people that you follow to allow their images to instantly show up in that frame. It's a brilliant little idea. I think it's going to have a huge market once it takes off. But he's got to get it funded, but I think it'll get there.
The limitation could be that Facebook are going to get in contact with him and say, no, we own red, yellow, green, and blue. Any thoughts, Chris?
No.
It's just do you like it? Do you hate it? Is it a nasty piece of crap? just you know, anything. Give me a reaction. It's not much of a chat show if you don't say anything, mate. You've only been at it 2 years. Come on.
Now I've just lost my train of thought.
Love it or hate it. There you go.
I am strictly middle of the road on this.
Yeah,
sorry. I'm going to be milquetoast on it.
God hates fence sitters. I tell you, all Buddhists go to hell. Right. That's all the news. I'm not doing any more. We had loads of stories. We did well today. Well done, chaps. Fast paced. Right. Questions. We've only got one question. If you've got a question on photography, send it to us. Send it to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and we'll shove it in the show and we'll answer the questions. You see from Andy's that we do answer questions. We do give sound advice. People take our advice. They come back very happy. See? Questions from Gordon in Worcester. Hi, chaps. Been thinking of upgrading my Nikon to a D5100 for the video and have put my old D40 on eBay. I have to say that I'm a bit wedded to Nikon, but I've heard that the D5100 is not very good for video compared to Canon. I only have two Nikon lenses, so jumping ship won't be much of a problem. Should I get the Canon 600D for video? If so, what are the three must-have lenses under £600 that I should think about? I think that's £600 for all three, not £600 each.
Hmm.
So, first question then. Jump from a 40D to a D51's a good jump, I would have said.
Mm-hmm.
Second, is the D5100 crap at video?
I don't think it's any... I think it's comparable to the 600D from what I've heard and what I've seen.
Mm.
You know, I haven't spent a lot of time using both of them so personally, so it's kind of hard to have a personal opinion. That's just based on what I've heard from others. So my feeling is that it's comparable.
Alex has popped up in the chat room. Well done, mate. Glad you're home in time. And he said D5200N is a better buy. So there you go.
There you go. Because I'm not much help on that because I don't use video. But yeah, if somebody else has an answer, there's your answer.
Well, Gordon wrote to me and said that he'd heard that video was for the D5100 was crap. And I had heard that as well. But having said that, I know that Carl, that used to host this show, he's got a D5100 and he sent some video out from it, the 1080p, and it looked perfectly fine to me. I know the 600D shoots great video, though, so I can say that you will get good video. Mm. I don't like it as much for stills. I don't think it's a very good stills camera at all. For video, it's great.
Is that a 5200 or 5300? I know what Alex
is saying.
I know I heard about this camera recently, but...
Gordon's in the chat room. He said, I bought the 600D in the end. There we go. So
okay.
So you already bought a camera?
He already bought the 600D. He sent the question and he went out and bought it regardless of what we said. So
thanks for the vote of confidence.
Stuff you. Right, three lenses that are must-haves then. So we're just talking about millimetres here. We don't need to know the entire Canon range. Any three lenses? One each. A must-have lens, Chris.
You got to have that new 40mm pancake.
The 40mm pancake, especially if you're shooting video, because it's lovely and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. I've got that, and it's stunning. Used it loads last week. 2.8 as well, all the way. Great. Kev, must-have lens?
Well, because I shoot Nikon, I'm not that familiar with the camera.
No, don't worry. Just what millimeterage.
Oh, millimeters. I like an 85, 1.8 would be a great lens to have.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you kind of make one of those?
I think they make a, yeah.
I think they do.
Yeah.
I think it's one that I've probably lusted after at some point.
I've used one before.
And I'm not so sure that Tokina don't actually make a version of that. It might not be 1.8, it might be 2.8, but I think Tokina make one. What are you doing, Chris?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Okay, and 50mm. We always keep going on about 50mm 1.8. Another good lens. Both Nikon and Canon. Must-haves. This podcast and all of the others would not be possible without UK2.net. If you're thinking of buying something, if you're sitting there thinking, I want to get my own servers, I want to have my own dedicated server somewhere, you can get dedicated servers from UK2.net anywhere from £49 a month up to £250 a month. And they do 100 terabytes of transfer, just enormous things. And it'll be all yours. They'll have it and you'll get full use of it. And they're really reliable. I mean, we've had some serious hits on our dedicated server over the last year after people have been on the show. We did 125,000 downloads of a Mac show that Andy and Atco was on a few months back. And everything just was rock steady, stood up, no problem at all. We use an enormous amount of bandwidth. UK2 are the people. If you want a domain, go and get one from them. All you got to do is go to our website, britishtechnetwork.com, and then click on their logo, UK2.net, it'll open in a separate tab. Come back to the sponsors page on our tab, and you'll find all the offer codes in there. You can get 20% off domains, free DNS management. You can get £50 off your first dedicated server. There's co-location services. There's tons of stuff there. Anything for the web. If you're a developer, if you're a user, if you want something for a little photography club, if you just want something to show your grandparents, their grandchildren in Australia or New Zealand or somewhere like that, go to UK2. They'll have the package for you. And you can set up, you can be running a website within 10 minutes with their site builder application. It's dead easy. Please support them as well, because if you listen to this and you value our podcasts, they're the ones that keep us coming to you. So thanks ever so much. And another,
I feel like there's a message here. And the message is, why bother with anything else?
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree more, mate. Absolutely. Why bother with anything else? Excellent. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Forsman?
You can get a hold of me at Ars Technica, where I spend most of my days writing all about the latest Apple technology and all kinds of other crazy stuff. And I'm on the Twitters at Forsmac.
Excellent. And Mr. Newsom, where are you, sir?
You can get me at Twitter at newsomsstudio.com or Kevin at newsomsstudio.com.
Or you'll be gate crashing hurricane parties around the Tampa area.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, I mean, a hurricane party is a lot better than a political party. So,
do you seriously have hurricane parties? Hurricane parties?
Yeah, we have hurricane parties. Sure.
What do you do? Just go out in the garden and get wet?
We pretty much barbecue in the blowing wind, and pull out a keg of beer or something. You know, I mean, it's just a bunch of people getting together to have a few laughs and then sit inside and hope that the windows don't blow in.
Yeah,
that sounds like my kind of night. All we lack is a hurricane over here. We do those kind of parties, but the windows don't blow in. That's the difference.
Yeah,
we'll be back again next week. We'll have a full lineup again. Alex will be back maybe next week. No, he's not in next week. He's definitely not in next week. It's the week after he's back. Barbecue, bonkers, and beer, says Wind Rider. It's about right. And we'll be back at the Mac Show in a few minutes. So see you next week. And don't forget, send us your questions. We only had one this week. We need three. Thanks for watching.
Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.